Joe's freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Well, we're going to excuse you from the interview.
Doesn't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen in Ballard.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Well, that was fun. I like Brock accidentally stumbling into a perfect song for himself.
Not thinking of the same part we all thought.
Didn't even get to the whole thing about the ring.
Oh, about put a ring on her?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to get really meta there. Nope.
No.
My favorite came in after we went to
break.
Now
you're proposing to Brock's wife? What? Or to Justin's girlfriend? What are you talking about?
Oh, we'll talk about it in a month.
All right.
In a month?
Oh, just wait for spring training.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's where he means. Okay.
Oh,
that's when you're going to get the hard sell.
Got it.
Uh-huh. Probably a daily, nightly basis, morning.
If I told you about marriage, that's what you're going to get down in spring training. It's good, though. Once you get there, the next part is, thinking about having kids?
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You get that comes next.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. There you go.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say, Maura? You got a really good one came in?
Oh, yeah. My favorite came in. I didn't see it till after the break, but 360 says that mine should be, I tried so hard, but in the end, it doesn't even matter, Linkin Park.
That would be a good one for you.
Yep.
Good stuff. Hey, you mentioned this earlier, Brock, and I wanted to run through some of the sound because it's fairly shocking. And you know, I don't know that you would ever see a turn this quick outside of professional wrestling.
Mm.
Right? I mean, you see it in wrestling, good guy, face, right? And then all of a sudden, bang, heel turn, like, you know, the entire world is turned on its head in wrestling, right? That's essentially what Colin Cowherd has done yesterday as it pertains to Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, right? We've heard Cowherd for the last few years. Pete's old. Mm-hmm. Russell. Russell's great. Russell this, Russell that. And then all of a sudden,
7-9. And Russell Wilson comes around, saves his job.
I have been told. The Broncos have made a decision. They want Sean Payton. Russell Wilson has told the Broncos owners he wants Sean Payton. Here's the dilemma. According to an NFL exec, Denver's got the best tradition. The new owners seem aggressive. They're willing to spend. But I think Russell Wilson's washed and the lack of draft capital holding him back. The defense is very good, but Mahomes and Herbert aren't going anywhere in that division.
Washed.
Yikes.
Washed.
Well, that wasn't Colin saying he's washed.
No, but it was Colin choosing to say the words of somebody else saying
reading an NFL executive that thinks he's washed.
Wasn't it a little bit an eye-opener when he left the Seahawks and former teammates, some of them offensive, used words like fake, isolated, not approachable? There are so many things to like about this. And they'll probably pay upwards of $25 million for Sean Payton, but I think I'd pass.
So that's him saying, I think I'd pass. I mean, that's him talking. Mm-hmm. And that's Colin just finding out that people had some negative things to say about Russ while he was here.
They did?
Wait, what?
Who's talking about you?
Seriously. Like, he's just learning that his teammates, some of them offensive, had some issues with Russ? I think we've been talking about that for a little while now.
Can I speculate? You want my speculation here?
You're going to need something.
You want my Fox? You want me to put my Fox hat on?
Mm.
Should I put on my employee badge?
Wow.
Yeah, do you want me to do that or
put
not?
Put that jacket back on you were wearing earlier.
The free one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You got your free Fox jacket.
Yeah, I do.
Maybe that's why you think Burkhart looks so good, because he buys his clothes.
He does look good. And I'll stand by what I said. Yeah. I'll stand by everything that I say on this show for 3 hours. Here's what I think happened, because as I understand it, the first hour of the show yesterday, it was, hey, Sean Payton's a great fit. Hey, Russell wants Sean. You know, what did Burkhart just get done talking to us about, right? This NFL league is about fit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find the right fit, find the right price. And those organizations that do that more often than not, and Seattle did for a lot of years, right? There was the right fit. There was the right price. Kept all the guys around. Kept winning. Kept playoffs. Yada, yada, yada. So first hour of the show, there was a whole lot of that. By the third hour, there was maybe a conversation in the building. And, oh, by the way, Sean Payton works in the building. So you could probably go right to that source And Sean Payton's out. Like, uh-oh. Did my homework and been interviewing everywhere and have kind of turned over the stones and looked at the situation, and Sean Payton is a hard pass. So, Colin, you may want to change the tune just a little bit, because while Russell wants him and maybe the Broncos want him, Sean Payton turned over the stones, looked at that situation, studied the situation, and said, yeah, that's not where I'm coming back to. I'm not doing that thing. And if I got to wait for the right fit, be it in Dallas, or the right fit, be it in Miami, or the right fit away from Mahomes and Herbert and having draft capital and not being tied to that guy, I'm going to find a better fit than that.
I got to tell you, if Sean Payton is making the decision because he doesn't believe in Russell Wilson or doesn't think he's a good fit for his system, I'm all for that. I agree with him. If he's making a decision, he doesn't want to go there because he's afraid of Herbert and Mahomes, get out of here. Right. That's lame. That's not having enough faith in who you are and what you're capable of. Sitting there and saying, well, I don't want to be in the same division as these other two quarterbacks. Get out of town, man. That one doesn't do it for me. Now, if he's looking at it and saying, Russell is not a fit for me, I wouldn't blame him at all. I don't think Russell is a fit for the kind of offense that he runs, and I don't think they're a natural fit. But I'll tell you who else I disagree with. Call him. I don't think Russell Wilson's washed. I think Russell Wilson is savable and salvageable if and when somebody is able to convince him to do the things he's good at as opposed to the things he's not. Okay. And I thought at the end of the season, he did some of that.
He did.
And started to play a little bit better.
I would tend to agree with that. Here's the dilemma. And this is where, once again, these two interconnect in a way. And it's remarkable that Russell ended up in Denver and in the situation he's in and the situation here in Seattle. And here's where the two do, honestly, intersect. Is that coach and that executive and those people are going to look at it and go, okay, I got Russell Wilson and I'm tied to him. I'm tied to him, Mike. There is no escaping it. This is not a, hey, what's the price and fit? The price is there and it is set and it is an enormous amount of money. And oh, by the way, you know, 28th pick with the Niners and no second and very little cap space and I'm stuck. So whether or not Russell is washed or not, and I tend to agree with you, he's got enough talent to play in this league when put in the right spot and the right system and the right, again, fit. But, you know, here we're talking about having two avenues to go down. That's not the situation there. There is no road. There is no way around it. They are stuck with some salary cap, and they are stuck with no draft capital. And so how do I build the rest of the team to compete with Mahomes and compete with Herbert and compete with Burrow and compete with Allen and compete in the AFC?
But that's about what you've got in Denver, not about what the rest of it is. Because if you were comfortable with what you had there, fine. I get it. Like, you should not go take on a project where you don't see a path to winning. But you shouldn't turn down that project based on who else is out there. That part, and I would be surprised if that's actually the way he viewed that situation. Meanwhile, did you see some of the Aaron Rodgers stuff? So Aaron Rodgers was on yesterday, I believe it was, with our friend Pat McAfee.
He still
doesn't know my name. Here's what Rodgers said about his future.
I don't think there'd be a scenario where I'd come back and that would be the number. I think it would definitely things would have to shift. Well, I just don't think it's, I think there's a lot of teams because of COVID that are strapped, and you're seeing those a lot of different contracts. They're pushing more money out in deals. They're creating, you know, certain kind of void years to allow for the an easier cap hit. So there would have to be some adjustments for sure.
So basically he's saying I'm making too much money?
Yeah.
You ever heard anybody say that?
Mm-mm.
I've never heard anybody say anything like that.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I'm making way too much money.
Well, 50 plus million is quite a bit of money.
Almost 60 next year.
It's quite a bit of money.
But it also sounds like he knows that and he wants to play next year. Yep. And it's hard to imagine that happening in Green Bay. So did you see, Colin, the one thing, I'll give Colin a lot of credit yesterday. Did you see that tweet?
Well, the three of us agreed on it. You're right, because I saw
ridiculous.
It too.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
He has a picture here of Aaron Rodgers wearing a white Jets jersey. Green helmet. It looks ridiculous.
Doesn't work.
He looks terrible. Now, did you see the other one of him wearing the black Jets jersey? That actually, like, oh, okay. I can kind of see what's going on here. So,
can you imagine, honestly, if the script plays out that way again?
Again.
Brett Favre to the Jets. Rodgers to the Jets.
Yeah.
You can't make some of this stuff up.
No, it's true. It really would be bizarre, but they have so much in common, the two of them. And yeah, the owner's the same guy, right? Isn't it the same owner who pulled the trigger the last time?
Yeah, the city of Green Bay.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, in New York.
Oh, yes.
I mean, so.
Woody? Yeah.
Wasn't Woody there the last time?
I think
he was.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be that surprising. I mean, that's certainly what they covet. They don't win, but man, do they get to steal those headlines and steal the tabloids and make sure that the Post is writing about them every day. We'll be back with everything you need to know. Brock and Salk, Sales Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, things aren't going great for the Seahawks in terms of previews for awards. The AP will do the actual voting when it comes to Rookie of the Year, but we saw the sort of preview with the Pro Football Writers handing out their awards, and those went to Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. So
New York,
yeah, I know. New York. Does certainly pay to be in the biggest city here in this country, that's for sure. Then we got the Coach of the Year nominees, and none of them are Pete Carroll. Five nominees, none of them are Pete. However, Geno Smith, one of the three nominees, not for MVP. I think there was a time where that conversation got a little out of hand, but for Comeback Player of the Year, he joins Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley on that list.
And I'll be honest with the Coach of the Year, the five candidates I get. I can't really make a case for Pete above them. And unfortunately, that stretch of losing five of six to the Raiders, to the Panthers, kind of doomed, I think, any of that. It doesn't diminish what did happen. It doesn't diminish the success and some of the foundational pieces that were built. And we'll see. We'll see whether or not the NFL honors feel a little bit differently than the AP writers do when it comes to Ken Walker. Sauce Gardner is going to win the Defensive Rookie of the Year. That's just going to happen in the hype. And we got to see him up close and personal, and he was a phenomenal player.
He's really good. But he won that award the moment his name became Sauce and he went to New York. That was pretty well written in stone at that moment. Meanwhile, Mel Kiper Jr. has his first mock draft out this morning. He has the Seahawks taking, this might surprise some people,
Will Levis, quarterback at the University of Kentucky, and I have been known to put mayonnaise in my coffee.
Mayonnaise in the coffee aside, that's who he has with the number five pick. In that version of the world, Carter, Stroud, Young, and Anderson are all gone. And then with the 20th pick, he's got, and I don't have any sound from him because Brock's never heard of him, Byron Young, outside linebacker, defensive end from Tennessee.
Yeah, hard pass. We'll trade down that number five. Thank you. Next.
All set.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Major League Baseball announcing its Hall of Fame class yesterday. Just one member, Scott Rowland, of course, Philly, St. Louis, third baseman. Deserving? Yes. Numbers, Hall-worthy. Defense, spectacular. 8 gold gloves. I don't know that I would have voted for him. I like a small hall, and he just never... I kind of just believe in feel when it comes to Hall of Famers. They feel like a Hall of Famer. And Roland's close. I'm certainly not upset about him going in, but I don't know that I would have voted for him myself. He'll join Fred McGriff, who was...
Well, the veteran's got it right. Yes, Prime Dog needs to be in there.
Yeah, he was overlooked during his time, and certainly somebody who looks better later with the benefit of some of the modern statistical analysis, and he ends up going into the Hall of Fame as well. Meanwhile, Scott Servais on yesterday with Shannon Dreyer and the Hot Stove Show. Who's he excited about? Teoscar Hernandez.
He can hit homers. I know that. We saw it firsthand. He's a very accomplished hitter. He's been, you know, one of the more consistent guys. I say that, and if you look back at his season last year, he got off to just a really rough start. We saw him early in the year when we were in Toronto, and quite frankly, we handled him pretty easily. You could just tell his timing was off and whatnot, but he quickly got it right. And you know, that's a guy that's going to do damage, against righties, against lefties, it really doesn't matter.
It will be fun down in spring training. It'll be fun to just listen to that bat. We know around batting practice, and we've heard it through the years of guys that just sound a little different. And with his exit velocity and his hard hit rate and every other metric they have, he is going to be one of those. And Colton Wong, too, is on that list. Right? I mean, they have made additions for all of the hand-wringing. And Ryan Divish on the air yesterday echoing a lot of what Shannon Dreyer said to us, Mike. Here's what you need to know. Mm-hmm. With the WBC coming up, and don't compare and contrast last year and a shortened year and everything else with the lockout, that more than likely right now, this team that we're seeing on paper is the team we're going to see in 3 weeks when the pitchers and catchers report down to Peoria.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Three home games in 4 days for your Seattle Kraken. Chance to add to that point total. You got Vancouver tonight, who's been in all kinds of problems this year, fired their coach. You got Calgary here Friday. That's a pretty good team, but they're behind you in the standings, and you'd like to open up some distance between you. And then Columbus over the weekend, they are in last place. So an opportunity here for the Kraken to do some damage. And then we'll see what it looks like for the health side of things. Andre Burakovsky, Jaden Schwartz were both absent the last couple games. The team had sent winger John Hayden back to Coachella, so I think there was a thought that maybe they'd be healthy, but he was brought back yesterday.
And so let's crank this sucker up, man. Let's crank it up. Let's crank up this rivalry. The Supersonics and the Trailblazers, man, when it was going and it was Kevin Duckworth and Clyde Drexler and those guys against Kemp and Peyton and crew, man, that was fun. That I-5 little corridor rivalry was fun. Let's get this thing going with the Canucks. You know, let's figure out a way to get the Kraken and the Canucks going. And without Bob Boudreau, you know, he's been let go. Go take advantage of these guys.
All right. That's enough. You're being what? Mean. She's obviously not a sports reporter.
I'm obviously not a composer.
That's true.
Okay.
That's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour.
You can make fun of me
here
when I call him
the
Mozart.
New Brock and Salk show. You were clearly not a music critic.
If
I would agree with you on that.
We can't have a little fun, okay?
All
if we can't
right.
have a little fun, then what are we doing?
Hey, let me play you something real quick. We got just a minute or two here, and you mentioned...
You better play the sound, otherwise people are going to think I've lost my mind.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to play you... I want to play you the sound of Aaron Goldsmith from yesterday. Because it kind of fit with something you were just saying there with talking about the Mariners and talking about who they did bring in.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't really necessarily thought of this. We maybe talked about each of these guys individually, but I hadn't thought of it as a pattern until I heard Goldsmith say this yesterday with Wyman and Bob.
Well, I think they certainly address some needs in a variety of ways, which I think people know what those are. I don't know if I need to roll call everything. For me, when I look at what needed to be done and the personnel that was filled, the thing that I like the most is the fact that you have guys who have been brought into the fold that have not just playoff experience, but a couple of guys with some fairly significant playoff experience, which it's great that we can be talking about how necessary that is and how realistic of a covetable asset that is for this organization.
Yeah, I had not thought about it, but really all three veteran guys do.
Yep.
Right?
AJ Pollock, been in World Series. Certainly Colton Wong has been in the World Series with the Cardinals when he was younger. And then Teoscar, not World Series. I don't think he was ever in a World Series when he was in Houston, but has some playoff experience in Toronto over the last few years. So, you know, all three guys that you brought in have been there before, have been in those moments mm-hmm. before. And again, I don't know if I'm going to guess that was part of what they were targeting, right?
Yeah, and I think when Santana walks out the door too, yep. there's a big part of that leaves and a bit of a void of experience that you'd like to see. And how nice is it now to be able to say, yeah, you know, Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez and your J.P. Crawford and George Kirby have been in playoffs. They won a playoff series. They've been and it felt and tasted, you know, what that experience is like. And then to add, you know, even more seasoned vets, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a bonus too.
Yeah. So anyway, just part of what this Mariners offseason has been about and not something that I necessarily had considered as we've been kind of going through it. All right. The biggest question we've had today is, I think, the key and the secret to understanding everything else the Seahawks do this offseason. We'll ask that next. Brock and Salk, Sales Sports on 710, salesports.com. This hour is brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports Station.
Keep coming back to this same question, Brock, because I think it leads into everything else the Seahawks will have to decide this year, and it starts with Geno Smith. We've asked how close they are. We've asked how they close the gap best with the Niners and the Eagles and the other best teams in their conference. But at the core of all of that, you've got to decide what to do with Geno. And in order to figure out what you want to pay him, you got to answer the question that I asked Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, which is, can you win the Super Bowl? Can the Seahawks win the Super Bowl if they pay Geno Smith $30 million plus? Can those two things happen at the same time? And again, I just want to reiterate, the question is not can a team win the Super Bowl. It's can this team, can the Seahawks, as currently constructed and needing to go, you know, get better elsewhere on their roster, is there enough there with your young talent and your 10 draft picks coming in this year's draft and whatever money you would have left in, you know, free agency salary cap wise after signing Geno to a big deal? Can the Seahawks win a Super Bowl after signing Geno Smith to a big deal?
Yes, and this has just been the hot question. And still, I give you just flip it around and watching NFL Live this morning, still 72 hours later, can the Cowboys win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott? Right? And over the last, I don't know, 10 years, can the Packers win a Super Bowl paying Aaron Rodgers $40 million, $50 million this upcoming season? Right? I mean, this is not a Seattle-centric conversation. This has been one since Russell got paid. Remember all those years, Salky, that people would call and tell us and tweet us and, oh, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. Not going to happen. The numbers tell you that. When you have a quarterback that takes X percent of the cap, you've not seen a team win. Now, they've been there. Matt Ryan's been there, and others have gotten there. But to actually win a Super Bowl when your quarterback takes, I don't know what the number is, some line like 25% of your cap, you're not going to win it. So, you know, this is not necessarily a new question, but it's new here because nobody expected us talking about this. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought you'd be talking about Geno Smith, and you're telling me Geno's got a market? You're telling me Geno's going to be a highly paid, going to be able to command 30 plus million? Yeah, kind of telling you that the numbers don't lie. But, you know, and you heard Kevin Burkhardt last hour talk about it. Yeah, man, like Seahawks, Geno, come on. It's the right fit. You know, this is Brock Purdy this year, right fit. Jalen, right fit. You know, right fit. Fit.
All those things are true. And Geno's the right fit here. That's what makes it important to add that first bit of context, right? The Seahawks. This is not about Geno necessarily. It's partly about him. But it's also about the other half of that equation, which is the Seahawks part of it. Can the Seahawks win a championship with Geno Smith making money? And on one hand, I think you're right. He's a great fit for what they do. He runs this offense very well. His skills are very much in line with what Shane Waldron wants to do. We saw it on display this year. It is a known quantity, a bird in the hand.
Yep.
The problem is the flip side of that is the rest of their roster was not close to winning a Super Bowl this year. And that was before you paid Geno Smith. Now, some of your rookies are going to get better. There'll be natural maturation there. You're going to have another rookie class with you've got tons of resources available to you in the draft to try to get better.
You're going to have some of Russell's cap money coming off the books.
But a lot of that is going to be handed right back to Geno Smith. If in this scenario, you're giving that right back to him. So I don't know how much I can sit here and bank on that. I'm not telling you that it's impossible. I think there's probably a way you can structure things and you got to be right, so right on so many things. And guys, you have to have essentially at least as good a draft class as you just had, which was a twice in a generation class. I mean, there's a lot that would need to work out just absolutely perfectly in order to make it happen. And maybe those things do go down. But I got to tell you, man, it just you said it before, gut feeling. It's hard for me to picture that script where you pay Geno Smith $35 million, for example, and then win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years with him. And it's not just because of him. It's not a shot at Geno. I can imagine Geno, you know, raising the trophy and what he would say afterwards. That's not like impossible for me to imagine. It's really hard for me to imagine they're going to build a good enough team around him while paying him that much money to find their way to a Super Bowl. It's hard for me to fathom.
Yep, you'll have a lot more margin for error if you don't have to allocate those kind of funds. But it's margin for error for the whole rest of the roster.
Yeah, but Brock, Geno, the thing about Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow is they give you margin for error because they're so good, right? They're in that elite category where they can make up the difference for mistakes. I think Geno can be a very good quarterback, and I think he could win a Super Bowl. I don't think he can make up for mistakes everywhere on your roster.
Yep.
And that's basically what it comes down to. And that's why it's hard for me to imagine giving him the kind of money that he probably deserves right now based on the year he's having and the market for his services.
Let me hear from Tim Hasselbeck, because you asked him that point blank yesterday. Can you win a Super Bowl paying Geno 30 plus million? Here was Tim.
Yes, I think you can. But I think that, you know, if you look at, Yes. To answer your question, yes, because I think if Geno Smith can play, you know, like composite, like how he played for the vast majority of the season, if you get that kind of play in the postseason, that's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
It feels to me, Sog, when we have these conversations and we entertain them with people in and around the Seahawks, you and I get very caught up in this salary cap. Mm-hmm. And it feels, do you get this similar sense? That many times then when you talk to the people, it's like, no, there's a cap. Yeah, I get it. But there's a lot of ways around it. And there's a lot of ways to figures don't lie, liars figure, to account and move money around when you need to. Right now, there's no.
But you got to pay the piper eventually, and you're seeing that with the Rams this year, right?
Yes.
I mean, they're over the cap and are going to have to cut people. In the article that started your conversation earlier, right, the Jeremy Fowler's article, you know, he had somebody suggesting that the Rams end up trading Jalen Ramsey and maybe more because they just can't afford to keep all those guys anymore.
Correct, because when you get to now that point, mm-hmm. and there's that many pieces on your board, and it's Richard, and it's Earl, and it's Cam, and it's Bobby, and it's KJ, and it's Doug, and it's Russell, and it's Marshawn, like, okay, yeah, we're going to have to take D linemen and flip them into O linemen on our O line, right? Like, you're going to have to absolutely pay the piper in some of those ways. In this situation, you know, you're locked into DK. He's one of those pieces. You're going to pay him average per year, a lot of money in the years ahead. You're unfortunately, and this is the one that really stinks, if there's no Jamal Adams in this conversation, if you could just blink your eye and everybody gets a freebie, gets a mulligan. Hey, you know what we're going to do for the league? We're just, we all realize we're a little strapped here in the COVID thing and the squeeze. So every one of you gets a mulligan on your roster, one of them. You just wash it clean. If you could do that with Jamal, this wouldn't be a big deal. It really wouldn't. You'd figure out the fit and the price with Geno, and he may not be subtweeting Drake lines, but you can't do that. And Jamal is on the hook, and you make that move, and whether you spread it over 2 years or 1 year, it's $23 million in dead cap. So that's unfortunately a little bit of the albatross that makes this Geno one, and every team has it. That's not to point out, you know, that bad move by Seattle. Every single team in the league has a contract they're looking at going, that was not smart money, right? That was unfortunately, we're a little bit on the hook for that one. So I'm with Tim. I think you can still win a Super Bowl, you know, paying Geno 30, not 40, not 45. Certainly, you know, nothing in that realm, but everything else got to be right. Your draft's going to have to be a home run. You're going to have to find a possible trade partner like Philly did with A.J. Brown last year.
Do you think, Brock, that gives you as good a chance of winning a Super Bowl as you would if you walked? Because I get it. You can do it if everything else works out. I mean, you know, there's a version of the world in which every other quarterback in your conference gets hurt and you win it that way, too. But yep. Does it give you as good a chance to win as if you were to let him go and try another round?
Gosh, yeah. That's
what it comes down to, right? And that's the bet that John Schneider needs to make.
That's where it gets squishy.
I find myself, as we're talking through this, I find myself really with a huge level of, and I always forget if it's empathy or sympathy, for Geno Smith. Life's not fair. Life really isn't fair for poor Geno. And I mean that dead seriously. That guy just came off an unbelievable season and should have every expectation of getting paid for it. Absolutely 100% totally agree with Geno Smith's point of view. I just did what I did. I showed that I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the game over the course of a full year, and I deserve at the very least franchise tag money and maybe more than that. I don't disagree with him for a moment.
I've earned it.
Yeah, he has.
That body of work this season, over 4+ months, you earned it.
And I think he's good enough to deserve that kind of paycheck and maybe win with it in the right situation. But I'm having a hard time understanding how the Seahawks get good enough while paying him that money and in order to win a Super Bowl. And as much as, you know, they can have goals of paying out and paying guys and you know, giving people what they earn and getting better and this, that, and the other, the ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl. And I it's really hard for me to see how that path works.
Tell me if this
while paying him that money.
Tell me if this little play on words works. It may not. You're the writer. You're the wordsmith. I'm not. But, you know, we were in the lyrics last hour and had a lot of fun with that. And you know what? Individually, the individual earns it, but what the team yearns for, very different.
Oh, difference between earning and yearning.
Yeah.
Wow.
You like that?
That's a good rhyme. I mean, I certainly appreciate the rhyme scheme that you're bringing out there.
You've earned it. There's no question. Individually, man, you have earned it. Your body work was good enough. Your numbers don't lie. You were there every snap. As Tim said yesterday, which is never gets talked about nearly as much, but emotionally, the way you handled the roller coaster and the ups and the downs and the losing 5 of 6, and you never wavered, man. You were a thumb guy the whole time. You never pointed a finger. You were remarkable in that way, and not a lot of guys are. And look in the league and look in your own division with Kyler down there in Arizona and the immaturity that he has shown. So, yes, you have earned it. But what we yearn for here, what we yearn for, is to put a whole team together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tom Brady still is. I mean, it still is some of that example when he was in New England, Mike, right? You know, like, you've earned the chance to make $50 million a year back then, but you didn't, because you yearned for more winning and more winning and more winning. And you did take a little less, and you did sacrifice on the front end a little bit for more and more and more and more. Russell didn't do that. Most guys don't do it. Mm-hmm. Almost nobody has done it. And especially when you've waited 9 years for your payday.
And the problem is, in order to really make it work with Geno, I think it's probably got to be significantly below what his market value is. It's a weird situation, man. It's a situation unlike any I can ever really remember in dealing with a quarterback. And I do feel really bad for Geno. I don't think it's his fault that the Seahawks are sort of in a position that they're in with him. But he's such a unique case in that he's come to light at such a late stage in his career that now he wants to get paid. He's not on a rookie deal where you're like, okay, now you got your guy. And for the next 2-3 years, we're going to play with him making small money, and we can see what we want to pay him down the road. He's not in that situation. He needs to get paid right now today.
Yep.
I just don't see how the roster is good enough around him to warrant paying that much money for a quarterback unless you know and have some other way of seeing how the roster gets to Super Bowl quality around
the
him.
The only thing I would say
or unless is he was Patrick Mahomes.
If you do feel bad and you do have that empathy or sympathy or whatever it is, and I do confuse those as well. The only thing I would say,
I think it's sympathy.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is, you know, some of the silver lining in this is thank God they traded Russell Wilson and got the 5th pick and a first rounder this year.
100%.
Right? And that first round left tackle last year. And yeah, can you imagine going through this and doing all of this and not having, you know, that draft capital and not having, you know, some of that salary cap space with him coming off the books, right? I mean, that is the one thing here when Kevin Burkhardt, and again, those national people that are a little further away from it than we are.
Yeah, he's just a no-brainer.
Oh, it's a lock.
Of course they're going to sign Geno Smith.
Yeah, for the right price and fit, they'll figure it out. John Schneider said it last week to Wyman. It's our first priority. Pete Carroll said, we know that it takes some money to pay these guys. We get it. And thank goodness for Geno and for John and this team build, you have draft capital that's the envy of most in this league.
Let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Saul.
Yeah, top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
Well, Brock, today we found out about the finalists for Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year. We heard about some Rookies of the Year. And it dawns on us that we've yet to rank years.
Really?
Years ranked.
Wow, put an N on it. You got yearn.
Interesting. Take a Y off of it. You got ears. Yeah. Years ranked.
This show.
Brock's hard to get it.
This show's been silly.
Yeah.
It's been a silly show.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
All right. Let's see some honorable mentions in years ranked. We've got Death Cab for Cutie. So this is the new year. All right. That's the new year.
Of course, fans.
You also have U2, which I'm sure you knew was going to be on this list, Brock. All is quiet on New Year's Day. So it's New Year's Day. My kids would be very upset if I didn't include the Jonas Brothers. Might be their best song, by the way.
Throwback, Joe Bros.
That might be their best song. The Year 3000.
We're young.
Yeah.
Met those kids when they were like 15.
Nice.
Very nice.
Really?
We just sneak them in through a separate elevator of the building. Whoa. Yeah, that's when I realized that I was out of touch.
They seem like nice kids.
Unbelievably nice.
They seem like, you know, they do the Disney stuff. They seem like sort of nice kids.
Yeah.
Pretty normal.
You got some movies, Brock. Of course, the movie about the, which one is it? Is that the kid who breaks his arm?
The Rookie of the Year?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Rookie of the Year. That one. Brock, I know, much like me, you continually went to the video store as a kid and rented The Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, The Metal Years. Was that a big part of your childhood like it was mine?
Wore out that VHS, probably.
I probably rented that 10 times. Chris Holmes from Wasp lying in his pool. Right. Wow. Okay, maybe not.
Not for Brock.
12 Years a Slave, 7 Years in Tibet. Happy New Year, Charlie Brown. Of course, Brock, the character that has sort of emerged from Toy Story to now have his own little world connected to that is Buzz
Lightyear.
There you go. I knew you could get it.
Yep.
Of course, you got Leap Year.
Haley almost a Leap Year baby. February 28th.
Yeah, you got to be careful of that.
Do you know she'll be 20 next month?
Dude.
Does that trip you up?
Don't even go there.
Teenager.
You want to go with some old
so
school music?
So inappropriate.
And that's still on your voicemail.
In the year 35, ain't going to need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think.
That's In the Year 2525 by Zager and Evans. I know you know that one.
That is a deep, deep cut.
It's such a good song, though. It's so weird. It's so late 60s.
It goes all the way 25. It keeps going.
Led Zeppelin, 10 Years Gone. We've got David Bowie, 5 Years.
I'm having a hard time with this.
Why?
Because you've had to have ranked years.
No.
We haven't. We really haven't.
Have they ranked years in the past?
Oh, I've given up.
Are you suggesting that we are wasting wasting years? Like Iron Maiden? Seem very nice. You got a little Rage Against the Machine.
Year of the Boomerang. Of course, you got the Goodyear Blimp.
Hey, Brock, I would have thought you'd have had that one.
Yep.
That's kind of up your alley.
Yep.
Why didn't you get the Goodyear Blimp?
Because all I'm thinking about is, as silly as today was,
yeah,
the line of the day. What's been the line of the day?
Earning
today?
Versus yearning?
No, that's a good line, but no. What's the line of the year today?
What was it?
I will leave the show and chuckle at 2 this afternoon about.
It's got to either be Maura's Linkin Park lyrics.
No.
Or the Finger 11 thing. Oh, yeah. That's mean.
Justin about the tennis racket.
Oh. As well
as you. That's Mike and the Mechanics with the Living Years.
I still feel bad about that. I'm sorry, Maura.
I don't know how you expect me to run the board with tennis rackets on my hands.
10 Years After, banned from the 60s.
Great slow ball.
It's a really good song, by the way. I'd like to change the world.
We'll take your word for
it. I'd like to change the world? You don't think that's uplifting?
No, I had a real nice...
It's literally called I'd Like to Change the World.
Yeah, I know. It had a great, just feel-good sound to
Normally
it, too.
Normally, you're, like, super hyper during this. This is a real, like, slow-moving, low-energy ranked. What happened?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a busy day.
I'm disappointed.
Maybe you're wearing on me, Maura. Maybe you're bringing me down. All right, number 5.
Number 5.
Paul Simon. Oh, still crazy after
all. Love that song. It is so slow.
Do you really?
I love Paul Simon. I love that song. Good call. Glad it's in the top 5.
I did it for you because, as you know,
I love Simon and Garfunkel.
Don't like Paul Simon. So what I think is I really just like Garfunkel.
I could see you and Betsy dancing to that after all these years.
At your wedding?
Yes.
In 30 years from now? She is a big Paul Simon fan, too.
Yep. I could see that.
Number 4.
Hey, Amy. How's it going? How you feeling? I'm great. I feel fantastic since we broke up. I feel awesome.
Can you just show me the department where there would be phones?
That would be the 40-year-old virgin. He's yelling at Mindy, isn't he? Yeah. Isn't that Mindy Kaling? Mindy chuckling.
You big Steve Carell?
I'm okay with Steve Carell.
He's pretty funny.
Steve Carell.
Carell, sorry.
Carell. Got a nomination for Trisha Yearwood. That's a good one.
Carell.
Is she a country star?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll know who
Trisha Yearwood?
To.
Maybe Married to Garth?
Yeah. Really?
Cooking show?
Didn't know that. Number three.
What would you do if I sang out of tune?
You know what song this was the theme for, right? Or what show this is the theme for?
Oh,
wow, I wasn't sure if Brock would get that.
Dang.
Oh, Fred.
Wonder Years also a great emo band.
That's not what we're going with here. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
We're going with Wonder Years. Fred Savage.
Yes.
Minnie? What was her name?
Winnie Cooper?
Winnie Cooper.
Yeah. Winnie.
Danica McKellar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was number what?
That was number three okay. on our all-time list of years ranked.
And you're missing a lot here.
Huh? I am?
Yeah.
I feel like I've done a pretty good job. Jeez. Number two.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Okay. I'll allow it.
That one had to be in the top five, didn't it?
I will allow that.
I feel like you guys just played that the other day for something else.
I think that was Santa Claus is Coming to Town, but I can see how you'd be confused.
I understand that.
That was ranking wonders.
I think number one was fairly obvious. It was the first one I thought of when I even considered this ranking.
And the one that will be stuck in everybody's head for the rest of the day?
Pretty much. Are you reeling in the year? Little Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Missed, Justin, that you thought belonged in the top five?
I mean, I was thinking that you were going to have some Schoolboy Q in here for Mora. Man of the Year, Schoolboy Q. I thought that would be there.
Probably should have. Yeah, I missed that one. Sorry.
It's also 10 years. Great rock band.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah,
man.
I played a lot of that on the Monkey.
That's right up your alley.
And Frank Sinatra. It was a
very good year. Well, we got Andy Williams. So.
True. Okay.
He represents Frank Sinatra on this list.
509 says, I'd rather work on my taxes for 15 minutes than listen to this. And 206 says, maybe you should call today's segment tanked.
Yeah. I do that. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, God! I'm running!
That David Lee Roth saves everything. Don't worry. I'll be out tomorrow, Maura. You can do something else with Ranked. I'll see you guys on Friday. Until then, the hay
is in the barn.
See everybody.